Today is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. The scripture lessons are from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, Psalm 27, verses 1 through 9, and the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. Today's message is titled, And So It Begins. From the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulder, the rod of their oppressor. Here ends the lesson. Psalm 27, a psalm of David, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, fourth chapter, beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Again, a prayer of Martin Luther. Matthew chapter 3, it closes with Jesus being baptized by John. Matthew chapter 4 opens with the Spirit driving Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. We're jumping over those verses. And we will come back to them on February 26th, the first Sunday in Lent. But I wanted to note this, that the flow of events, so you can note the happening of the flow of events in Jesus' life, as now we begin with Jesus' public ministry, which begins in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. And here we find Matthew following his way of writing, again emphasizing Jesus' fulfilling Scripture. So before Matthew begins how Jesus begins his public ministry, Matthew draws your attention that what is happening is fulfilling the Holy Scriptures. Matthew chapter 4, verse 14. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. In other words, Jesus going up to Galilee, leaving Nazareth, going to Capernaum, which is the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. So this emphasis is Jesus begins his public ministry. It is fulfilling the word of God. Fulfill means to bring to full, that is, so full it is to capacity. So Matthew 4, verse 14, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And that's chapter 9, which we heard this morning in our lessons. And that fulfill means to bring to full, to fill it up to the greatest capacity. And how it's used, it means to fill it up, bringing it to completion. So this word of prophecy has now been filled up, and it is brought to completion. Here, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, are the lands that were given to those tribes when they entered the promised land. These lands are in the region around the Sea of Galilee. Nazareth, the town of Nazareth, is in the land of the tribe of Zebulun. And the town of Capernaum is in the land of the tribe of Naphtali. So you see, God's word is being fulfilled. Matthew specifically quotes portions. And remember, these were written over 700 years earlier, previously by the prophet Isaiah. And these specific portions are Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And now Jesus' public ministry begins. Jesus leaves Nazareth, the town he grew up in, and he settles down in Capernaum by the lake, and that's the Sea of Galilee. As it will come to be, a vast majority of Jesus' teachings and healings will be happening around this Sea of Galilee, in this region of the Gentiles, with Capernaum functioning a central role, sort of like a home base for all his travels. Concluding this opening summary of verses in Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus preaching, Jesus heralding, Jesus proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." People want to jump over that word repent. They want to hear the kingdom of heaven is imminent. It's here, it's here, it's near. But see, Jesus' public ministry begins around the sea, walking along the shores. And as he's walking along the shores, he sees two men out in their boat, working their nets. That word see, it means to stare. It means to gaze intently. It means to try to understand and discern the person. I'm going to keep looking at you till I get you. And Jesus is staring at him. He's looking at him deeply. These two out in the boat casting their nets. And then after looking at him deeply for, we don't know the time, but he was just watching them. He was staring at him. And then he sees what's inside of them. And he calls out, interrupting their work of casting nets. Matthew 4, verse 19. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. "And I will make you fishers of men." Just imagine those words coming across the water to you in your boat casting the net. "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men." Literally, fishermen of men. That word "come," it's not just a simple invitation. Rather, it is a command. Yes, a command. Come! There is a force behind the word as an interjection. Come! With an exclamation point. Come! No delay. Come hither. Come right now. With no delay. Come after me. And I will make you fishermen of men. A whole new life is happening to Simon and Andrew. And immediately they left their nets. Immediately, everything changes for them. They left their nets and followed Jesus. The only promise Jesus gave them, "I will make you fishers of men." That's the only promise he gave him. "I will make you fishers of men." No promise of shelter, no promise of meals, no promise neither of comfort or anything. He'd simply come. "I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me. Be with me. I will make you fishermen of men." Walking further along the shore, Jesus stares again at two more at work in their boats. This time they were with their father. And Jesus calls to them. Calls to them. Implicit in this is the manner, the same manner of calling out to Simon and Andrew. Implicit, Jesus calls to them, is Jesus called them in the same manner as Simon and Andrew. "Come, follow me. And I will make you fishermen of men." This call is a summons. It's more akin to a summons than an invitation. They're being summoned out of their former life as fishermen into their new life of fishers of men that Jesus will make them be. Jesus called the four, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, to join him on the path he was walking. That's what it means to follow, join on the path. The Greek word for follow literally means path join. Path join. So follow means path join. So being a Christian, when we follow Jesus, we don't say, Jesus, come follow me and my lifestyle choices. It's rather you leave your lifestyle choices and you join the path Jesus is walking. It's a lot different than what today's culture is teaching about the faith, isn't it? You can pull Jesus into your way of living. That's what's a lot being taught. No. It's Jesus pulls you into walking His path. Path. That's what it means to follow Jesus. So they walk the path. They join the path Jesus. This figurative sense of speaking also includes journey to a specific goal. So you're joining Jesus' path towards a goal. Have you ever noticed, or did you ever pay attention to, these first four that were called, summoned by Jesus, three of them become the inner circle. Did you notice that? Did you ever pay attention to that? The first ones called, three of the four become the inner circle. Simon, James, and John. And these three would be privy to more than the others who would eventually become a part of the 12, the disciples. The inner circle was called first to join the path with Jesus. That's fascinating. Peter, James, and John. Because you know Simon would be called Peter by Jesus, renamed. But Simon, Peter, James, and John, you know they were the only disciples to accompany Jesus into Jairus' home. You remember Jairus came running up to Jesus and fell before Jesus, imploring, Jesus, please come. My little daughter's at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so she will get well. Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they recount the details, little differences in each one. Matthew chapter 9 tells of the events, so does Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5. Both Luke and Mark add this detail, and I'm going to add it from the Luke verse translation, Luke account, Luke chapter 8, verse 51. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's mother and father. So only Peter, John, and James, along with the child's mother and father, they were the only ones to see Jesus call this girl who was dead back to life. Talitha, come, get up. And she was restored to life. The three of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, along with the child's parents, they were seeing it. Early one morning, Peter, James, and John were awoken by Jesus, it seems, and he took them, Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain, and it was just the four of them, Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. There he was transfigured before them. His face was shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. These three saw that great wonder too. And it was these three in that Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus says, come away with me. Keep awake while I pray. And their eyelids were so tired, they fell short too. Peter, James, and John. But these three, did you notice they were the first three summoned to join the path with Jesus? And then you can't forget, don't forget, it was only Peter that had the faith and the nerve to say, it's written in Matthew chapter 14, for starting at verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. These are the first disciples summoned to join with Jesus. Now, did you notice we heard that word come? Jesus said to Peter in the boat, come. The English word come is there. And spoken to Peter to step out of the boat and walk in the water. And we also heard the word come spoken to Simon when first called to follow Jesus. Both places we have the English word come. However, in the Greek, they're two vastly different words. Matthew 14, the Greek root word, Strong's number 2064, erkomai. And it means come, yeah. But in that Matthew chapter 4, that summons, also translated in English, come, the root word is duota. And the difference does not appear in the English, but there's a great difference in the Greek. Matthew 4, it's a command with that exclamation point. Come hither. It's a summons. In the walking in the water, it's go ahead, come to me. You can come walk on the water if you want. It's not the same. In the English, same, but not in the Greek. So we contrast with now with how Matthew, the writer of the gospel, came to be a disciple. Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew responded. However, we must note that Jesus did look intently and deeply at Matthew, just as he did with Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Saw a man in the tax, see a man in the tax. It's the same Greek word, that look intently word. And when he saw, that's the same Greek word there in Matthew 9. Jesus looks at Matthew as Jesus looked in Matthew 4. And when he saw, he looked. He called the first four, come, with the summons. But Matthew, he says, follow me. So we have the command of come hither given to Simon, Andrew, James, and John, the first four, three of which will be in that privileged inner circle, and the others who would come later were called in a slightly different manner. It's fascinating. Seems that the first four were all intently, and actually all the disciples were intently studied. And thoroughly looked at, penetrating deeply into who they were by Jesus before commanding, come, as he did to the four, or to the rest, he said, follow me. The nuance is there in the Greek, in the words being spoken. Psalm 27, which is a Psalm of David, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This great light has come into the land of Zebulun, has come into the land of Naphtali, and it's the message of salvation. And it begins to be proclaimed in that land around the Sea of Galilee. And so it begins. It begins with gathering a very special group of people to see and hear all that will happen. As Matthew summarizes what happens, beginning Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So really, in those couple of verses, you have the summary of what's going to be happening over these next 3 years or so. He heals, he teaches, he preaches, and he heals. And the crowds follow. And they come from all over the place. But I want you to note something here. Jesus' public ministry begins really after another person's public ministry has come to a close. John the Baptizer. Matthew, did you notice Matthew says, after John was taken into prison, Jesus went. So as John's ministry, the one sent to prepare the way of Jesus, as his ministry comes to a close, Jesus begins. Teaching, preaching, healing. And the news spread and the people came from great distances. Large crowds from all across the land followed. So indeed, John the Baptizer did prepare the way. And now the way is being picked up by Jesus. And so it begins. Teaching in the synagogue, preaching along the roads and on the mountainsides, from fishing boats, wherever he went, he was preaching, he was teaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the realm of the sovereign rule of Christ. The good news, the gospel message, it includes all these things. Repent and believe. It includes that repentance. It includes the message of redemption, of forgiveness of sins. It includes the righteousness of Christ being freely offered to all who believe Jesus is the Christ. The good news of the kingdom of heaven includes all of this. It's sometimes called the kingdom of God too. And it's interchangeable. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. It is this message. It's the fullness of redeeming work of Christ and all that it entails. Repentance, the redeeming price paid in full. And whereas our sinful nature through Christ is replaced with the righteousness of Christ. And we become children of God the Father forever. So that's what's taking place in this preaching and teaching. And the healing is the natural outflow, for the kingdom is eminently present. The power and rule of Christ is being demonstrated. The healings, the deliverance from whatever bondage had over them, they're the natural outflow of the imminence of the kingdom of heaven. Yes, these things are what we would call supernatural from our perspective, from the Lord Jesus Christ. They are natural, outflowing of His compassion, His love, and His tenderness for humanity. And the disciples are to be witnesses. Witness the things as Christ is transforming them from fishermen to fishers of men. And so it begins, the making of fishers of men. The making of fishers of men, so that these many years later, we too would know the forgiveness of sin, the redeeming of our souls by Christ Jesus, and life everlasting, so that we too would be made into fishers of men. And so it begins. Peter's testimony becomes the Gospel of Mark. The letters of Peter too we have. Written for us. John, he would write his account. It'd become the Gospel of John. And of course, we have those letters of John too, all written for us. And so it begins and carries on through the generation as the Word of God spreads from the few in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago to now, these times, 2,000 years later, across the lands. It's crossed the seas. The good news of the kingdom of heaven is the most wonderful news. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He came to be the sacrifice for our sins. On the cross, Jesus was crucified for our sins. He died and was buried. On the third day, Jesus rose victorious over death. 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven. And He will come again. And so it begins with, come hither to Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And the making of fishermen into fishers of men. Their testimony of the Word, the mighty Word of God spread and continues to spread till Christ comes again. And so it begins with Jesus taking a deep look at two men, casting their nets, and Jesus commanding, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. A little further down the shore, Jesus looked at two men preparing their nets along with their father. Jesus commanded them too. And so it began. And it continues. And so it began, and I am not the same. And so it began, I pray you are not the same. For the message of the fishers of men has brought redeeming grace to your soul. Amen and amen.